This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by
Audrey Raj
and Aravinya Raj.
It is Fun Friday. We're hopefully having some fun stories for you today. Audrey, how's your mood today?
Good. I'm looking forward to some fun stories.
The other day you were a little bit, you know, we were coming out with some fun stories.
Because it was Whatever Wednesday.
Oh, I see.
Arvin, how's your laptop today? You've been having a bit of an issue with it, right?
Yeah, it's super hot.
It's super hot.
Yeah. For various reasons.
For various reasons.
Yes.
Because what have you been watching? Anyway.
Wholesome entertainment.
Of course. If you want to get in touch with the show today, you can WhatsApp us. It is 018-789-8899. Of course, you can also get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Stories we're going to run through today is a translation device that a plumber made for about $179. We'll be talking about how Canadian cell phone companies have been told by the Canadian government that they now must sell all of their cell phones unlocked. Mm-hmm. We'll be moving on to in-store price checking and how a certain large online retailer oddly wants to stop you from checking online prices.
I wonder why.
Right? Expensive songs appearing in terrible movies is something we'll be talking about as well.
And how much it costs.
And how much it costs. And leaked data, that's that one. What was the final story? Yes,
how you might soon be able to get a suntan from a pill.
From a pill.
Ooh. Yes.
I could do with that, actually. I need to get out a little
just
bit.
Just you in this room right now, because right. Me and Arvin, we're Indians, that is just...
I never noticed you were Indians. Just until now. It's just occurred to me.
What gave it away?
I don't know.
Audrey Raj, Arvin Yuvaraj, and Richard Pratt.
That could be something.
We have to give him a new surname, like an Indian surname.
Mm. Is that what's going to happen?
By the end of the show.
Yeah. Wonderful, I can't wait. Right, anyway, can we talk about the stories now?
Sure.
First story then. Former Australian plumber just invented a $179 earpiece that allegedly can translate 8 languages in real time using IBM Watson.
But this is a legit article. Why did you say allegedly?
Right, it's from Bloomberg as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's a flagship product. It's an earpiece that can interpret 8 different languages, like we just said. And he revealed it at the UN event in Switzerland on Friday, just gone. The company is called Lingmo International, and they're a startup based in West Gosford, north of Sydney. It's called Translate 1-to-1. And this was revealed at the UN's Artificial Intelligence for Good Summit in Geneva. And it uses IBM Watson's machine learning technology for its algorithms to translate from one thing to another.
Yes.
So, go
8 languages, right?
Right.
We're looking at English, US and UK, mm-hmm. Japanese, French, Chinese, Italian, Spanish, German and Portuguese.
Right. Go on, Arvin.
Imagine that.
Do you believe this?
No. Right. I mean, at first, no. I'm not sure if I do now, because I'm thinking if Google can't do it properly, then what gives any of these other devices? It's Google. If you're going to do like a voice translation thing, Google would have done it first. You put in any sentence in Google Translate, and you can make a YouTube video about how funny it is.
Right.
Because it's never accurate.
It's never accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good fun. It's good fun.
Imagine all those websites that use Google Translate. Right.
Oh, I know what you're going with that. But this guy said, you know, the reason he decided to do this is because 4 years ago he encountered a bit of trouble on his business trip to China. He said that his passport was stolen literally 4 hours after he landed. And he went to a police officer and spoke to him using a competitor's translation service. And he typed in, "Hello, how are you?" But it translated to, "Hello, I love you." Mm. Could be a little bit embarrassing in a police station.
And cute, too.
And cute, too. But what he's saying is, and I do find this interesting, is because it's very difficult if you're translating word for word, right? Mm. Because often you don't know the context of a full sentence. So what they're suggesting is that he's going to use a 30-second block. So it feels like a structured sentence before it actually translates. So that, Arvin, might negate some of the problems that you're talking about.
And he's also talking about using AI and certain algorithms and stuff. I think that helps with the dialects.
Right.
Because some words don't translate accurately to other languages and they mean different things.
For sure.
Which is what Google does. Google uses direct translation.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing, it looks ugly. To be fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. I mean, there are competitors in the field. I think there's one called The Pilot that was created by this man called Andrew Ochoa. He created this little earpiece that translates just one language to another because he met this French woman and he wanted to, you know.
He wanted to speak the language of love.
Yes. Oh. And, you know, and that looked a lot better. It wasn't so clunky.
Yeah.
But then again, the problem with just one language translate, I mean, like from English to French or something like that, is that you don't have that flexibility. So you can only use it if you go to France or, you know, someone from France is coming over to England or something like that. But this one has 8 different languages. Imagine how great it would be if, you know, it started to translate into, say, Bahasa Melayu and also say Mandarin or Cantonese, and then that way, you know, we can speak Manglish.
Wow.
And a foreigner could totally understand what we're saying.
I could walk downtown and actually understand what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, for a change. the idea, I mean, this guy is saying, you know, he's trying to push it out for like the kind of the consumer market, which is why it's priced at $179. But it is coming, apparently, with a smartphone app as well. It has 3G connectivity, which means it connects directly to the IBM Watson thing. So you don't, I mean, it's got Bluetooth and a whole bunch of other stuff, and it, you know, it's got its own kind of power supply. So you're not having to rely on it being connected to a phone. It just connects automatically to somewhere else. It's quite clever if it actually works. I remain skeptical. I mean,
once you crack the code to decipher one language, not decipher, transfer one language, then you can do it for every other language. So I think it's just about getting those algorithms right, bypassing the whole thing that Google doesn't do, getting those right. And then once you get one language or one complex language, then I think it's easy to just use that same blueprint for all the other languages.
And I think using IBM Watson, it's also machine learning, right? So it will learn together with you. So the more you use certain words, it will pick that up and it will understand that, and it will help you the next time you use it. So, you know, it could actually prove to be the next step.
The next big step in our development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Arvin.
Next up.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a story about cell phone locking. So basically, thankfully, we don't have this here. When we buy cell phones, the cell phones are completely unlocked. We are free to choose whichever provider we want to go for. But in Canada, when you buy a cell phone, you kind of link it to a provider or like a carrier there. And if you want to unlock it, then you pay like a $50 unlocking fee. People in Canada have never liked this. They call it a hostage fee and they call it a ransom fee. They've been complaining for a long time. So recently what happened was the CRTC, which stands for Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission.
That's a mouthful.
Yep, that's why they call themselves the CRTC.
Okay.
So what they did was from December 1st, they have completely taken off this locking mechanism for all phones. So they say that when phones are sold in stores, they have to come completely unlocked. And also, if you have an old phone and you go to your provider and you want to unlock it, then they should unlock it for you free of charge.
Right.
So this is a huge step for them because they have never liked this thing of having to unlock because they see they own the phone.
Right.
If you pay so much money for a phone, especially if you're going for one of the higher end ones, you should be able to choose whoever you want. And if a provider is not giving you the service that you need, you should be able to switch to another provider free of charge.
It's very similar in the UK as well. In the US, I believe some of the networks over there are fully locked in. Mm-hmm. Because when I went home recently, and obviously I bought my phone here, and I take it to a UK store, and I said, you know, can I just have one of your SIM cards to put in my phone because I'm here temporarily? Mm-hmm. You know, the guy was like, you know, what network are you on? I'm on a Malaysian network. Mm-hmm. Do we need to unlock it? Well, no. It just comes like that. Oh, that's great. You know, I wish they'd do that over here. Yeah, me too. You know, there's a whole bunch of people over in England that are having this same problem as well. There are certain networks over there, though, that are very, very good. I believe Three Network is one of the ones that where your phone comes automatically unlocked. What you pay for it, you pay just for your phone. You don't pay this ransom fee at all.
Yeah, but I can understand why the Canadian telecom companies are not going to be happy with this move because I think looking at some of the figures from this article here, it says that they made a total of $37.7 million last year by charging customers to unlock their phones.
Wow.
So,
and that's 75% more than what they made the year before.
Is it really?
It is.
And can you imagine in like 2017, they're not going to make
any of that money.
Yeah.
So what they've said is that they charge this fee to the few people who want to switch providers. And if this goes into, like, if this is implemented, then they'll have to pass on the charges to everyone.
That's going to happen, isn't it?
That is going to happen.
Nothing we can do about that. But, I mean, I like the idea. I think every phone should come unlocked and you should be able to use it on whatever network you choose.
You should, like I said, thankfully we don't have that here. We're just free to choose wherever we want to go for.
All right, folks, we're going to move on to some music in a sec. We've got the Stripes coming up with She's So Fine in a couple of seconds. Before that, quick reminder, the WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. And if you want to get in touch via the tweets, we are at BFM Radio. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
As a man who likes enterprise biz bites, my name is Richard Bradbury. I'm with
Audrey Raj.
Audrey Raj, and of course,
Arvind.
We're going to be with you all the way through until 1 p.m. This afternoon. And now, moving on to our next story, quite an ironic one, this one. Amazon have granted a patent that prevents in-store shoppers from online price checking.
Hmm.
The irony of this is not lost on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Amazon, as we know, has been the long been a go-to for people to do their price comparisons, right, while they are out shopping at brick-and-mortar stores. Now, this new patent has been granted to the company. It could prevent people from doing just that when they're inside Amazon's own stores. So, this patent is called the Physical Store Online Shopping Control, and it details a mechanism where a retailer can intercept network requests like URLs and search terms that happen on its in-store Wi-Fi and then act upon them in various different ways.
Yes.
So let's say, for example, you're in a store, or you're in an Amazon store, for example, and you want to buy some khakis, right? You want to buy some trousers.
Why not?
And you decided that, you know, you think maybe these khakis are a little bit too expensive. So you think, well, I'll just quickly check to see what else they're like. You try doing this within one of these stores where this physical store online shopping control is in. And what happens is Amazon could then come back in with another little ping and say, hey, hold on a minute. We actually have a cheaper pair of trousers for you. Maybe you should check these out instead.
And tell you exactly where to go to.
And tell you exactly where to go to. Another Amazon store further in the city or something along these lines. But they can also fully block you out from checking for different prices and stuff.
On their own platform?
On every platform.
So you're in an Amazon store.
Correct.
But you cannot go to Amazon.com to check prices.
Correct. That's part of it, yes.
But only if you're using the in-house Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can kind of sneak around it by using your data network.
And how many people don't have a data network?
Right.
How many people are going into like an Amazon store just to use the Wi-Fi?
But I think the reason this is the whole idea of using data is because this a patent was originally filed back in 2012 when data, as we know, back then would have been a lot more expensive. So people would have just gone in and gone, I need Wi-Fi, give me Wi-Fi. But Jeff Bezos, as we know, has always been one for the long game. And he probably saw this kind of coming a little while ago. And you know.
Yes, he did, because he actually, though this patent was recently approved, it was originally filed in 2012. Yeah. So that was like 5 years ago that he already saw this coming.
Yeah. But I mean, why would you do something like that? Just say you find something in the Amazon store that you want to buy, and then you go to Amazon.com, and if it's cheaper there, Amazon's still getting your money.
Right. Right? But it's kind of like that. You know when you go to a supermarket and you've bought everything that you want to buy, and yet you're at the checkout and you see, oh, I'll have some chewing gum, or I'll have a little bit of a sweet. You know, that's what I think they're kind of banking on, is the fact that they have you in that store, and therefore you might just buy it anyway.
Yeah, because this patent also lets retailers know your physical whereabouts in the store, right? So what happens is, this retailer can tell you, all right, you know, let me try and sell you this instead. You know, you can upsell you on items in your immediate area, or actually send a direct sales representative to you to sell you something.
That's so annoying, though.
It is. It is kind of annoying. But I think I can also understand why they're doing something like this. Short story, like last year, I went to this warehouse sale that then they were promising like the lowest prices for everything.
On laptops?
On TVs, on anything. On anything. And they had like this TV that was $2,999 for like a curved TV. And I thought that was cheap for like a curved TV, 60 inches. I went to Lazada. And I checked it, and it was like $500 less.
Wow!
Yeah, it was like $2,499 or something.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't look at this.
Did a quick U-turn and went straight back out.
And it went out, and I didn't bother, but you know, going through the crowds and like looking at all the other stuff because it was $500 more expensive than what I could get at Lazada.
See, that's what Jeff doesn't want, right? He doesn't want people like Arvin walking out of his warehouse.
But then again, what Jeff could be thinking is that okay, fine. So now Arvin's found a TV that's for the same TV for $500. Mm-hmm. Let me give him a coupon for to buy this TV and then get, you know, a free hi-fi set or like I don't know, like a satellite TV box for free or something like that, and that
something
would
that
add
could tempt
value.
Me more.
Yeah.
Easy though. I mean, I like the idea of what he's trying to do. I mean, I see what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, like you say, Alvin, you know, people are just going to switch on their data and they're going to go, yeah, okay, it's $500 cheaper down the road. Why am I not just going down the road right now?
Yeah. Or if they find it on Amazon, which Amazon has like the widest coverage, they just pick it up off Amazon.
Yeah.
It's a win-win, I guess.
It's a win-win, right?
I still don't understand why they're blocking it.
Right. We have to take a very short break. We've got Eddie Kendricks coming up in just a minute with Keep On Trucking. Oh, my word. Followed by the Bluebells with Young at Heart. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bending fickle minds. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with Audrey Raj and Arvind Yuvaraj. Mm-hmm. Have you got a name for me yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
By the end of the show.
By the end of the show.
What if someone tweeted in?
Yeah.
What if somebody tweeted in?
Yeah.
To give me an Indian name.
An Indian name, yeah. Why not?
I'm dreading this. I'm dreading this. If you want to tweet in, ladies and gentlemen, for any other reason, please do get us at BFM Radio. And, of course, if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. So you have a story from me about leaked data.
Leaked data. It's not new. We've spoken about leaked data and stuff.
Plenty of times.
Yeah, and getting hacked a bunch of times. But you know how when you watch like a movie and it's like a low budget C grade, like I mentioned the other day, Alien versus Predator or whatever.
Yep.
And it has like a good song in it. All of a sudden, like Beyonce pops up or Coldplay pops up, and you're like, how did they afford
how
this?
How did they afford that? Yeah.
Where did the budget go? Like, how did they buy this song? Apparently, it's all private and confidential stuff. It's not supposed to be known. There are fees. But then there's this company, and the name of the company is Rightsline, and they were hacked, and they had a leak. They weren't actually hacked. This is the interesting part. There was a leak in their system, and people found out about the fees that these artists were paid, like Coldplay and the Spice Girls and stuff. This is in the
people
early,
still buy Spice Girls songs?
Early 2000s.
Okay.
I think they just, you know, I'm not going to say
anything. Oh, did you see that?
Maybe a bonus one for one.
Okay.
Buy this album, you get the other. You look like you want to say something.
Are you saying that they're in the bargain basement bin?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Or maybe even not there.
All right. You're so mean.
So anyway, this company, Rightsline, they have... when they pitched this idea to the people who wanted to store their information there, they said that they were the most secure data protection mechanisms available. They use the most secure data mechanisms available in the market to ensure that your data always remains your data.
Okay.
And then this file, mm-hmm. 2 GBs, two gigs
what?
Of this, was just placed on an Amazon server without a password.
Oh.
Nice.
So anyone who had the address could just go to the server
and see
and
how
pick
much.
Up the file.
Oh, they could take the file as well?
Anyone can. Yeah, they could just read the whole file.
Right.
With all the accounts on an Amazon server. And the thing is, 2 GB sounds like a small amount, but 2 GB of text...
That's an awful lot.
...is a lot.
And so what have we learned?
Yeah, what did we learn from you? Give us the juicy gossip.
Yeah, so basically, you know, for the TV show Cops?
Yep.
Yeah, so they had Fox paid $18,000 for Cops to use Blondie's One Way or Another.
Great track.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
So you see, again, you like wonder, like, how did Blondie get in here? Like, where did the budget go? Apparently, $18,000 of that budget went to Blondie in the thing.
Bad Blondie.
Yeah, not bad. Coldplay made a lot of money because Coldplay songs, I remember like in the mid-2000s, they were using Coldplay for everything.
Yeah.
Like every trailer, like it's they were the M83 of the early 2000s.
Very true.
Yep.
Yes.
So they were on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They were on ER. They were on Friends. They were on Queer Eye. They were on the OC. Movie trailers for Geely. I never know how to say that. Is it Geely?
Pass.
Oh, come on, pass. Irene. You know how to Geely. Say it. It's
nah,
Geely. It's one
it's
of your Geely. Favorite movies.
It is not my favorite movie.
Please don't fight. Please.
So they were paid $50,000 to be used
for one song.
No, to be used in the trailer.
Oh, just the trailer.
Just the trailer, because they needed to sell the movie.
Wow.
So Coldplay made $50,000 out of like 10 seconds of their song.
Wait, just reading between the lines of what you just said there and how you just said it, you're essentially saying that Geely would not have made any money had they not have played Coldplay in their trailer. That's what you're trying to say, right?
No, I'm trying to say that Geely was the movie that put Ben Affleck out of commission.
Oh.
Yeah.
So don't pull your punches, Arvin. Say what you mean.
So he was basically exiled from Hollywood because of this movie. And then he had to go and learn filmmaking and all that stuff.
Right.
And come back in through like another way, like another road. This was the movie.
Right.
So they had Coldplay. So, and Coldplay also made $50,000 is nothing. They made $125,000 for the Spider-Man trailer. And then they made $250,000 for Peter Pan. Peter Pan didn't even make that much money.
Well, I know that a certain alcohol company paid $500,000 to use one of their songs in a 2004 commercial as well. I remember that.
But then again, I guess a certain alcohol company, they had the money to pay them, right?
Right.
That's okay. Like I guess Spider-Man was okay. But for some of the smaller movies, that's a lot of money to pay just for a trailer. I mean, you're banking on it selling.
Okay, I understand. Because, you know, using Coldplay tracks just... Well, it fit. I remember how they used some of the tracks for what was that movie? Not ER, the other one, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and you could feel. I mean, it really brought the emotion in it, and I would pay that kind of money to use a good track. But the Spice Girls. I don't know about that.
Interestingly, you know, I think it's because of a trend like this, because they kept spending so much money on big artists that if you look at Grey's now, they use indie artists a lot.
They did. OC as well did back
the
then. I think back then, Coldplay would have kind of been considered a little bit indie back then as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were just kind of on their way up, weren't they? I mean, OC was one of those places where, well, I'll speak for myself, that I would sit and watch... much later than actually it had been released, and kind of sit there going, oh, why have I not heard of this band before? Why have I not heard of that band before? It was a real eye-opening thing.
And then you find out about the band. So they use it. So the band uses it as a platform as well to get out there, I guess, as for exposure.
And this file, is it still available for anybody to go and peruse and have a look around? Or
they say that it's been taken off. They say that they've closed up. I mean, once it's on the internet, then basically anybody's going to be able to see the file. They're basically saying that it's human error, this whole thing. So
of course it is.
They say that the systems are fine and it's secure and they have all the firewalls that they need. But some guy just left the file on a senior executive just left it on one of the servers and didn't lock it.
Isn't that a very similar story to the BA Airlines everything going wrong? It was some kind of human error, right?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Somebody tripped up over a plug socket and accidentally unplugged something which managed to take down the entire servers worldwide.
And how much did they lose? Like
billions.
Billions.
Billions. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we have to take a very short break, of course. We don't have any Coldplay, but I do have the Cold War Kids. Almost, but not quite. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Richard Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by Arvind Yuvaraj and Audrey Raj. So we're at our final talk set. I'm trying to rush through before I get christened with a name that I don't know anything about and before something gets launched upon me. We have one more story to wrap up with, Audrey, right?
Yes, we do. So soon you might be able to get your suntan from a pill. This is what you're talking about at the top of the show.
Yeah.
So in the future, there might be no reason for you to leave the great indoors while you're on vacation. Researchers at the Massachusetts General Hospital have developed a drug that can give even the most ardent indoorsmen a healthy tanned glow without sunlight or damaging UV radiation. So this drug, it's got a protein that's called salt-inducible kinase, or SIK. And what it does is it tricks the skin into producing melanin, the pigment that actually causes tanning and darker skin.
Right.
So the compound triggers the skin to produce a temporary tan before reverting back to your natural skin tone once you stop the treatment.
I quite like the idea of this. Do we know if it's safe?
Yes, it is, because it's really just activating the production of pigment and it's doing it in a UV-independent fashion. So think about it, right? No cancer scares due to excessive UV rays. And it's going to be... It's great for people who just can't find the time to go and get one of those spray-on... tans, like, you know, I can just imagine Kim K is going to be all over this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I quite like the idea because I'd love to get out in the sun, but often don't have the time to do it. And I now look like I've been in prison for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, that's about as much sunlight as I've had recently. No,
well, you know, I understand why this is, people are excited about this pill, just because it will serve as a strategy for reducing cancer.
Yeah,
for few people will resort to laying out in the sun, and that, you know...
Because to be fair, the only reason that people get tanned is because they think it makes them look hotter, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're talking to an Indian here, so...
This is true, right? I can't even talk to you either, Arvind, can I right now?
We're tanned by default.
Yeah.
This is the basic system, how the system comes out.
Right, right.
I get tanned just driving out of work on a Friday afternoon for lunch. Come on.
You remember that time in Langkawi when I got tanned just by walking on the beach and I ended up looking like a lobster in the space of 10 minutes? That's painful, you know.
And that, on that same holiday, I was asked to get out of the pool because I was getting too dark, apparently. you see, the contrast here?
You know, I thought that I couldn't, for whatever reason, I thought that I couldn't get tanned.
Right.
So I was away like a weekend. We did this build for this Epic Homes thing. And then I'm like, I'm not going to use sunblock or whatever because, you know, I am Indian and, you know, I already have a tan. Then I come back and there are like lines on my skin under my T-shirt.
Right.
So that was a weird experience.
Right. My brother, who is the most fair-skinned person I know, who also has ginger hair, and people that have ginger hair have a real problem with getting burned and their skin. He was literally, this was in Greece a few years ago, he was on the beach within 5 minutes, his back, his shoulders, everything was bright red. Something like this would be useful for him, you know, because it would just kind of ease things a little bit.
Anyway. It should be noted, that this pill is not a replacement for sunblock, but scientists hope to combine the tanning drug with sunblock for maximum protection in the future.
Good idea. Okay, we have come to the end of the show then, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just do a quick run through some of the stuff that we've covered today. We started off with a translation device that can allegedly translate to and from, was it six or eight?
Eight different languages, yeah.
We then moved on to
the CRTC and how they're banning cell phone unlocking fees, and all new phones that are shipped out after this will be completely unlocked.
We then talked about how Amazon were granted a patent that prevents in-store shoppers from online price checking.
And then, of course, leaked data revealing just how expensive it was to put Spice Girls and Coldplay songs in movies back in the early 2000s.
Really bad movies.
Really bad movies. Then, of course, we finished off with a potential pill that you might be able to take that you don't have to sit out in the sun and you can get yourself a nice little tan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Shows that we should recommend, the podcast that we should recommend. We did Tasty Tuesday for the first time. For the first time this week. Part one of four.
Mm-hmm.
That was with Gagan. Mm-hmm. Part two will be coming up on Tuesday of this week as well. So keep your ears out for that. The second part of that. He's got some really good stuff to tell you about how you should focus and what you should focus your money on and your kind of developments of that.
Yeah.
All good stuff.
All this, of course, because the Enterprise Takeaway 2017 is coming up July 13th at Nexus Connection Bangsa South. So we're kind of like gearing you up into the kind of content that we will be covering, or the next stage of content that we will be developing, we will be discussing during the event itself. Of course, this year's focus is on keeping the love alive. Why love? Because, L is for labor, O is for operations, V is for vendors, and E is for expansion. If you're thinking about taking your F&B business to the next level, you need to be there. It's happening once again July 13th at Nexus Connection Bangsa South. Visit bfm.my/takeaway for more info.
It almost sounds like you've read that before somewhere.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well rehearsed.
Came off the top of your head.
Well done.
Rich.
Yeah, well done.
Or Rishi.
Oh, Rishi.
That's what it is.
Rishi Bradbury.
My word. Okay, what have we got coming up after the news?
Coming up next is the Breakfast Grill.
I'll get you for that.
It's the Breakfast Grill replay. Brian Fernandez spoke to Dato' Razlan Razali. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Sepang International Circuit. Sepang has been synonymous with the Formula One or F1 Grand Prix since the Sepang International Circuit opened its gates in 1999. Following the decision for Malaysia to quit hosting the F1 races beginning in 2018, what will happen to the fortunes of the SIC? And Dato' Razlan spoke about all of this in the Breakfast Grill this morning.
All right. On behalf of myself, Audrey Raj, and Arvind Yuvaraj, I've been Rishi Bradbury. It's time to wrap up Enterprise Biz Bites. Have a lovely weekend, folks. We'll be back with you on Monday. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.